So when we were in Mysore, and all the things that she thought she would learn from us, this girl, she couldn't, because suddenly one day, I won't go into detail, but I had this terrible ear burst, is all I can say. I had a mastoid operation there. That's a long story, and how it happened, because I think that's rather boring, because it will take time. So the thing is that I was put in hospital. Now, you see, it was all women's hospital. It was entirely run by women, missionaries, American and English. There were two doctors. One was a surgeon. She was American, and one was a doctor who was English, who looked very much like Kitty, who behaved like Kitty. Mm-hmm. You always saw the nurses running after, Dr. Gillespie, you forgot your stethoscope. Dr. Gillespie, you left this behind. Doctor, is this yours? You know, how they would run. And so when we were there, Baba one day said to me, this will give you an idea of the aspect of obedience. So one day, Baba says in front of everybody, says to me, says, Mani needs ultraviolet rays. So everybody, the others look at me. Only about five, six of the others look at me. I can't look at myself at 10 minutes. Well, I need ultraviolet rays. No question, even in the mind. So what is to be done? Baba has arranged for a car, which will be very secluded, which I will go straight to the hospital every day. It's an all-women's hospital, so everybody's women, compounders, nurses, doctors, except the gardener, who's so old, I never could understand how he planted anything or recognized any of the flowers, you know. And the cook, who was hermaphrodite or something else. A really missionary school. So Baba said, I must go every day and have this ultraviolet rays and come back. Okay, I did that every morning. One day Baba asked me, are you friendly with the nurses? I said, my, perhaps I shouldn't have been. I said, yes, Baba. Yes. It's very natural to me, to be friendly, to be fun, having jokes and that something. So Baba said, good. What about the doctors? I said, no, Baba, I haven't. Be friendly with them. No, they're such busy people. I just go for ultraviolet. How on earth am I going to make friends with them? So I'd go around the corners, try and catch, and just smile, you know, like that. Very surprised. Smile back. So one day, Baba said, now I have to. I'm going to Uttakaman for my must work. So you must not go to the hospital anymore. But you go and ask the two doctors and the matron who was, I think, Swedish or something, ask the matron and ask the two doctors what they would like you to bring from Uttakaman, because you're to say you're going to Uttakaman. You know, you see, one is not to tell about Baba at all, at all, at all. So I'm in my element when I'm told to say something, which is, so I went over. And somehow I managed to greet them, and I said, you know, I'm going to Uttakaman. Oh, they said, very, very wonderful. We've been there. It's a lovely place. You mustn't fail to see. This. I said, yes, yes. And I said, please, I'd like to bring something for you from there. What can I bring for you? Anyway, to make it short, they were so touched, so surprised. But I kept on insisting. So one of them asked for something very simple. Eatables, I think Indian eatables. Another one asked for something which I forget. The matron asked for a pair of gloves. Now that scared me, because I don't know how do you take a measurement of gloves. But she told me and everything was done. And do you know, Baba, I gave those directions to Baba because Baba wanted them. Now he goes to the Mastur to Uttakaman. When he comes back, he faithfully brings their requests. Now he says, all right, now you take them back to them as you have brought them. You have brought them from Uttakaman, because I mustn't mention Baba. So I go, and oh, they're so touched. Everything is perfect. The gloves fit perfectly. Everything what they wanted was exactly what they wanted. And now they want to talk about Uttakaman. And I haven't seen Uttakaman. I don't know what Uttakaman looks like for my enemy. And then so I decided I just keep on taking Baba's name, and I say yes twice and no once. And there you are, saying these questions. But it so happened that I said no to the wrong thing. Have you ever seen the moon? I said, oh, no. I said, no, but that's the thing to see. Oh, I said, wait a minute, did you say more? Of course, I saw that. Yes, yes, it's wonderful. I was really sweating by the end of the interview. But now, this is to show you why Baba had me become friendly with them. Because I needed that hospital in a few days. In a few days, I had a ear burst. Something happened in my ear in the middle of the night, and it just started bleeding on till morning. Baba was angry that I didn't send word to him. But, naturally, how could we? I didn't tell anyone, because then something would have had to happen, and Baba would have to be notified, and Baba would be disturbed. When morning came, we'll see to it. By that time, I mean, I kept taking the sheet, my white sheet, folding it and putting it under the ear and folding it, and it was covered, it seemed. So that was a lot of activity and concern. As soon as I woke up in the morning, my other sisters, Mara and Naja, of course, you know, doing all they can, and then sent word to Baba. And Baba came, and immediately I must go to the hospital. Now it's Sunday, so when I went in the car to the hospital, nobody's available, no doctor, no this. So, but the nurses going by in the ground came casually over, being curious. Oh, but this is Mari. Mari, word round. You see, they already knew me. See how Baba prepared everything? Anyway, they gave me the best room and the best. But the thing is that we were not to tell them about Baba, who Baba is. Now, Baba would come twice every day to see me, to sit by my bed. My teeth were clamped after the operation. I almost died. The nurses put the rosary and under my pillow and prayed for me, and all kinds of things were going on. And Baba was asking Mara, now supposing she were to die, how would you feel? And Mara said, well, Baba is yours, but you know, your sister, and all that. So Baba would come twice a day in that old jalopy, that old car that I talk about, and He would feed me a little orange juice or something with the tip of a teaspoon, which is all that could go between my teeth for a while. Then little by little it was better, and then I still remember Baba peeling an apple sitting next to my bed, cutting it in small pieces, and bit by bit putting it in my mouth. But now the real story, Naja was in my room, it was a private room, looking after me. So it's very funny. The doctors would come in, they were drawn somehow. They would come in at odd hours, sit there or be there. And they were told by Chanji, Ramdas Dada Chanji was the liaison between Baba and the doctors. They were told, Baba told them through Chanji, no expenses were to be spared. Whatever medicine she required was to be bought. You know, expense was not to be thought of, just go ahead and give her the best. They would say, it's funny. On one side, it sounds like they're so rich, no expenses to be spared. I mean, whatever costs, go ahead. At another time when they came, they would see Naja's food would come from home. Well, the tiffin carrier came, didn't have a handle, it had a safety pin. The cat didn't have a catch, it had a safety pin. Our cups and saucers were all without a handle or cracked. The spoon was, because, this real poverty that we're doing here on the one hand is this, the little rug that Naja had to sleep on was so patched, the original could barely be seen. Now, the things that I had on, you know, were so old and patched. You know, but they couldn't ask, but they couldn't reconcile. They knew there was something. But what the nurses were so drawn to Baba. So when his car would come, chak, 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 the moment, you could hear all over the hospital, I mean, with that old little thing. They would come from every ward, these nurses, and pretend that they were very busy doing something by this particular landing where Baba would be coming up the steps, up the stairs. It's upstairs, you see, coming up the stairs from the portico. And they would hustle and bustle, all of them gathered together, traffic jam of nurses right at that time, right at that place. And Baba would come up, and they would just look, and, you know, they would just see where, and they see him come into my ward and sit by my bed. Now, there were some nurses who were so specially drawn that they would come up to my room on any excuse, and while staring at Baba, ask Naja, they'd say, is Nurse Rose here? And Najibur said, no, Nurse Rose is not here, in her English. And then she had this whisper that was louder than anything. So in her whisper, she would say to me, she knows Nurse Rose never comes here this time. How can Nurse Rose be here? And then and another nurse, Prema, would come, look hard at Baba, and ask Naja, did I leave my thermometer here? No, you don't. You not leave your thermometer here. How can she leave your thermometer when she doesn't take your temperature? And these things would come on. Now, Nurse Rose, the one that was first mentioned, was very special. I didn't know, because when they would ask, when these nurses asked Naja, who is he? Who is this Baba? Because we would call out Baba. Because Baba's brother, Baba's father, Baba's friend, Baba's everything. So, who is this Baba? And Naja would say, given strict orders not to reveal who Baba is, he is the patient's brother. Oh, the patient's brother. But why doesn't he talk? Now, poor Naja, what is she to say? He's so shy. So this will go on. Now, so when... So what Nurse Rose started doing, after some days, now when Baba would come and sit by my bed, Nurse Rose would peep in, like the others, each one would do, but Nurse Rose would give one look and run away. She was in charge of the baby's ward, the children's ward, an enormous ward. It was a beautiful hospital, an enormous hospital, stone building, broad corridor, verandas like we have here. And these nurses were tiny somehow, small, and they didn't wear sandals. So their feet would just go very softly on the stone flooring, but they were so neat, so tidy, so kind. They would stay overtime to be with their patients, to be with the children they were in charge of. So one look at Baba and Nurse Rose was off, and we would hear her feet go pitter-patter, outside my window, past my window, long way away. And then she would bring the day's newborns to Baba, one by one, even the preemies. So before we knew it, she was back, and she would hold this child in front of Baba. She would look at Baba, not a word would she say, and of course Baba was silent, but Baba would look up at her, and she would hold up the child to Baba. And Baba would raise his hands and take the child from her hands and place it on his lap. And then there was this silent conversation, apart from the love that flowed from his eyes over the child and from his face. He would sort of make gestures, sort of, what are you doing here, or who are you, or do you remember, whatever it is. You know, this little conversation with the child, and he would take the baby's tiny little finger and shake like that, and all this between the child and Baba, this silent conversation. And then Baba would take the child, hold the child up to Nurse Rose, who would then take it from Baba, go out, another child. And another child. The same thing would go on with every. And one day we couldn't believe it. Naja and I counted 12. And I thought, this will never end. My God, we're going to sit here all day with Baba, and these babies are going to come one by one, and that's all. And we couldn't believe it. And Baba, not once did he show any impatience, or did he give any less to any child, to the 11th than to the first? No. The same measure of love, the same measure of concern and compassion that you could see in his face was poured over each baby. It could have been 18, he would have given the same. Could have been 50, he would have done the same. But we got impatient after 10. We said, this is incredible. But we never told them. We were longing to tell them. Oh, man. So then, just a few days before I was to be discharged, Baba didn't come. It was not necessary for Baba to visit me. He had to go out somewhere. See? So the nurses were restless. They knew the time when Baba would be visiting me, and they would, you know, keep going on to near the landing, and none of them daring to ask But you know, all everybody wanting to ask, everybody pretending it's quite natural for me to be here at this time. Everybody else knows what it's all about. At last they came and said, "The Baba did not come today." "No," said Nadia, "Baba is going out somewhere." "Oh, we love it when your Baba comes." You see that? The talk was strange. But they felt, they received that incredible love that was Baba. The kindness, the compassion. And there's the fun and the light and the humor. All of that about it. But even this again, as I tell these things, these are stories, these are incidents. That canvas of that incredible love is something that Baba reveals to each one. Each one in his own way, in that individual relationship which you all experience. Each one of you must experience. He has given to each of you behind the veil, but he's given. Which is why you all are here. Which is why for us it's an exchange. It's not one-sided, it's not just giving. I heard him laugh once or twice.